Arsenal fans have seen enough. Is this another season where Arsenal's title challenge will be choked off? What a crucial day this could prove. Mikel Arteta glum-faced at the end of it, tight-lipped. This was a game they needed to win to restore the belief they can win the title. But Bournemouth have come here and triumphed 2-1, and they were thoroughly deserving winners.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
As ever, but we all know that isn't the case, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. You rolled a six this week, didn't you? I don't think I didn't listen.
Ah, yes. Hello, Jan. Welcome back.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you. Good to be back.
But we have no Terry this week, I'm afraid. So Jan, in penance of missing out last week, is doing all the heavy lifting this week. Yes, and you find us in jubilant mood because, despite what you may be hearing on other podcasts, we're celebrating. I am, anyway, as an Arsenal fan, because Arsenal won a trophy at the weekend. Yes. Kind of. Jan, come on, let me have this, please.
You're stretching the definition of Arsenal winning a trophy, though, aren't you, Graham?
Well, okay. Well, Jack Wilshere won a trophy. And he's still Arsenal to me, anyway.
He'll always be Arsenal.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Jack Wilshere won his first silverware as a manager, didn't he, Jan?
He did. Luton Town boss, so Luton who had back-to-back relegations, and I know, and Tottenham are about to find out what that's like. So he took the gig at Luton, and he took them to the EFL Trophy final, formerly Papa John's Trophy, when it was at its zenith. Graham, that's when it was at its zenith.
Yes.
Now it's the Virtu or something like that. It's some car dealer group. Anyway, not to take away from Little Jack's achievement there. They beat Stockport County, who are also called the Hatters as well, which is strange, in the final on Sunday. And they had a huge crowd there. I mean, I've been to the EFL final before, back in 2019. But anyway, concentrate on this one. There were 50,000 people there yesterday in the game against Stockport County, which is absolutely incredible. And historically, despite a couple of seasons under COVID when no one could do anything, it is normally well attended, very well attended. So the game in 2019 where Sunderland lost to Portsmouth, could have been Charlton, just flip a coin, it's going to be one or the other. That's who we lose to at Wembley, that's how it works. There were 85,000 then a couple of years earlier. Coventry played Oxford, 75,000. There's been 80,000 when Bolton beat Plymouth. Even in 22, Rotherham beats Sutton United, and there was 30,000 there, which, as you mentioned, Graham, just before we came on air, was probably a sellout for then, given the restrictions that were in place at the time. So, it's worth its place in the football calendar, and always well attended. So, great. Good stuff, and well done, Jack.
Yes, well done, Jack. Yeah, of course, you reminded me there, isn't it? Because when Sunderland did win, it was in 21, wasn't it? When no one could go.
That's right.
But that was the day after they played the previous year's final, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. I'd forgotten all about that. Yes, so I think
Salford
won it, yeah. And they held it for a day.
Yeah. The bizarre things about the EFL Trophy. That's the thing about the EFL Trophy. It is a bit weird. I suppose part of the weirdness is the fact it does have B teams in it, doesn't it? And that's a lot of people have switched off from that completely. Luckily, none of the B teams have ever made it to the late stage. Well, the final at least, anyway. They've not made it that far. I can't remember off the top of my head, because it's regionalised, isn't it, up until the semi-final?
It is.
So you have a southern final and a northern final, don't you?
Well, you have playoffs to get to the final, but yeah. That's right. It's it's good in a way. I mean, you could see a time it's not happened as yet when a B team got to the final. You imagine a Manchester City, or even worse, a Newcastle B team getting there and winning it, and that would stink it up for everyone involved, because, you know, for those of you who don't know, listeners, it's open to League One and League Two clubs only, and also a kind of a smattering of academy sides as well. So a few years ago, we got drawn against Newcastle's academy side when we were in League One and on our arses. I mean, and that was awful because, you know, we couldn't win either way, because if we won, we did win, then, you know, you only beat our kids. But if we'd lost, I mean, that would have been awful. It's like you lost to our kids. So there is that element to it, especially when it's your rivals. But no, I think on the whole, it's a really great competition, and good to see that it's so well supported.
Yeah. Obviously, there is a lot of opposition to having B-sides in there, but there's obviously a movement from the clubs to allow it to happen. And I suppose the big fear amongst a lot of fans is the fact that this allows it through the back door of ideas like League Three a few years back, which was going to have academy sides. Now, I know from German football, I've seen it with my own eyes, going to see third division German football. I saw a game that was played between two academy teams, between Bochum and Cologne. So it's quite common in Europe, once you go down a few levels, to see B-sides, but it's one thing we don't get in England. And I can appreciate why fans don't like the idea of it, but I can also appreciate what the clubs see in it, especially nowadays, because academies at top-level clubs are so strong now, and they want to try and see as many players coming through as possible. And they always make decent arguments for it. Like they say, well, otherwise we're just going to loan these players out, rather than say, well, we'll let them thrive at another club with much worse facilities. We'll talk about this now, but this week in women's football agreed to allow academy sides at the third level of the league, which is like the National League.
In England,
yeah. So, this is the one just below WSL2, so it doesn't have the same level of professionalism as the top two flights. Effectively, it's non-league, but you don't have to go too far further down before academy sides actually form quite a lot of the women's football pyramid. But now it's coming up, I think, two levels up to the third level. And it's I think it's four clubs at the moment. I think we can guess which four clubs it is. So there is a lot of outcry amongst people in women's football about this isn't helping anyone, apart from the big clubs get even better. Now they can hold on to their players and play competitive football at a decent level. I don't know too much about football at that level, about how the costs involved of running clubs and things like that, and how that would significantly impact that. I know gut feeling thinks, well, that sounds like a bad thing, but it's difficult to know, really, isn't it?
I think in the women's game, I suppose, as you said, once you're outside of the top two divisions, then it's effectively non-league. So I think the difference between that and the men's game is that if you're loaning players out from, say, Arsenal to a team in the third or the fourth tier, like they're still going to be playing professional football,
yeah,
and they're going to develop because of that. But if you're loaning a player out from a team like again from Arsenal women's team,
yeah,
to a team in the third or the fourth tier of women's game, I mean, there's a question really as to whether that's going to be beneficial for the player. So it makes sense to kind of keep it in house, really. So maybe that's something that the women's game is going to have to, I don't want to say suffer, but it's something that maybe that needs to happen in order for it to grow, and then look at other avenues to try and develop the kind of grassroots game a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. At the moment, because we say the top two divisions, but that at the moment is still only 24 teams as well. So it just means the amount of options available for loaning out players or developing players with game time is restricted. Of course, these are problems that women's football are facing because of the accelerated pace of professionalisation in the sport, and decisions have to be made that probably should only be short-term decisions and should be walked back from in years to come when there are stronger, more professional clubs around. But at the moment, with the expansion of WSL, you're going to see a lot more of the more successful clubs at the third tier going up at the moment anyway. So, and there's a lot of teams that can't really move up into that third tier. So I think this is why the decision has been made, I think. I think it's happening from 2027, so it's not going to happen next season. But yeah, it's going to happen soon. Well, yes, there you go, listeners. We start off. We didn't really even have a chance to talk about the weekend's results, and we went straight in there with the meaty topics, didn't we? See, this is what happens when Terry's not here, you see. We just get onto it straight away, don't we?
We do. There's no messing around.
Well, we could talk about this weekend's results, but I don't really want to, being an Arsenal fan. But the one match I did watch this weekend was Sunderland versus Tottenham.
Oh, you flatter me, Graham.
Well, perhaps wasn't the reason I was watching it. Apart from seeing Granit Xhaka back, which I celebrate still because yes. I love him as a player. Yes. And Sunderland always play a hell of a lot better when he's on the pitch, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, he was out injured for a few games, and it did coincide with a little bit of a drop in form. During the African Cup of Nations, we lost a load of players. He was still around, and we still did all right. But yeah, when he's not around, it's a real problem, which does give me concerns for seasons to come when he decides to hang up his boots. But yeah, great player, and he is absolutely adored, Graham, on Wearside. Absolutely loved.
Well, I'm not surprised, because he has taken Sunderland to within a point of Europe. So these are great times to be up on Wearside, isn't it?
They certainly are. They certainly are. I thought, as I always do, because I'm scarred by years of watching us be awful, but I thought that the new manager bounce with De Zerbi coming in yesterday for Tottenham was going to do something. And although they didn't stink the place out, they weren't as bad as their results maybe portray them. But apart from kind of one shot from Solanke, which was saved, they didn't really threaten. And in the second half, they kind of just weren't really there. So can we talk about the goal?
Yes.
So why not? Let's talk about the goal. So Nordi Mukiele, he got the ball kind of on the near touchline and started charging into the centre of the pitch, when he had a perfectly good player overlapping him. When I was screaming, just pass it out there, he had a different idea and ran towards the D on the edge of the area, hit a shot that was going to go near post, and the keeper would have saved it easily, and it hits Mickey van der Ven and looped up, and I was going to say flew in, it didn't fly in, it fluked in, if anything. And it just made me think, after I'd climbed down off the ceiling, when you're going to get relegated, or when you're at threat of relegation, they're the kind of goals you concede, because everything you do is just turning to, it's turning the wrong way. We've all been there, some of us this weekend as well, Graham, haven't we? Because it was a very similar one at Arsenal, wasn't it?
Totally. It really reminded me of the first goal we conceded against Bournemouth, which again, we had Saliba blocking a shot, looping up off his foot, and instead of going in at the far post, it just landed in front of Junior Krupe, who got a very high foot up and managed to steer it into the back of the net. But yeah, when your luck's not in, your luck's not in.
Exactly.
I was watching the Tottenham game. The most worrying thing I had for them, if I have worries about them, is that it didn't seem too dissimilar to previous games that I've seen them play, where they have moments where they look like a proper top six side. And they certainly have individual players who are like that. But then there are some elements about it that just stink, that really do. When something can go wrong, it will go wrong for them. It doesn't seem to be chance anymore. It just seems to be the fact that it looks like they're constantly playing uphill to me. And I think that a lot of the time is pressure. It's been a long season. It's been a long season with the same group of fit players, actually, as well. So
yeah,
that really doesn't help when you've only got six games to go and you've got to win three of them.
Yeah, and going through that season with kind of half a squad
across
it, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great fun seeing the league more competitive, let's put it a different way. You know, if all of the Spurs fans haven't turned off 6 months ago, they certainly will now. But they suffered another set of injuries as well, because Christian Romero clashed into Kinski, who actually I thought had quite a good game, after his nightmare the last time he had the gloves on. And he's probably going to miss the rest of the season as well. So, you know, you add that to I did the preview for this game for the box set, and just reading through the number of like quality players they've got that are just sidelined, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, they've got no creativity at all because of all of those injuries. So you're right, they're playing uphill, but they're not just in that game and previous games, but like, you know, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, they are now in the relegation spot. And West Ham and Forest picking up points. West Ham, who had that emphatic win against Wolves, who have been in better form before the international and FA Cup break. But West Ham destroyed them in the second half. And that's got to give them a bit of momentum as well. So, yeah, it's not looking good for North London, is it?
Well,
saying that, you know, you'll still win the league. It's unlikely that you're gonna you do look nervous. There's still 6 points.
Yeah, but they've got a game in hand and they play us. If they beat us at their place, then it's level pegs. It's that 6 points is easily swallowed. So it's high jinks ahead, but it really is waiting on this game at the Etihad, which is coming, well, worryingly soon.
It's Sunday, isn't it?
It is Sunday, yeah.
It's Sunday, oh my God.
Yeah. Next week, it could be panic stations time, or it could be, what were we worrying about? But, I'm thinking at the moment, the way things are looking, it's more like the former than the latter.
Mm.
But the thing is about the run in this season is that, at least at this stage, normally you'd be looking at the list of teams available to play and you'd be thinking, oh, well, their season's over. They've got nothing to play for. But I look at the Premier League table right now, and the only ones we really, really haven't got anything to play for right now are the bottom two. It is mad. We've talked a lot about the concept of the middling clubs this season and about the middle class clubs and how well they've been doing. But you look at Newcastle in 14th place on 42, and it's only 6 points between them and 6th, where Chelsea are on 48.
Yep.
So all of those clubs have got a decent stab at Europe. And, well, depending on who wins what in Europe, that could go down quite a way. We've already secured the 5th place, thanks to Arsenal's win over Sporting last week. That secures 5th place as a Champions League spot.
Mm.
It's currently held by Liverpool. But below that, we've got one at the moment Europa League place that will probably be joined by the FA Cup, depending on who wins that, if that's City or Chelsea win that. But hey, that could go to Southampton easy.
It could.
And then you've got City won the League Cup, so it's certain that the Conference League place will go down to either 7th or 8th. And so you've got 9 teams going for 3 spots there, and one of those teams is going to be Sunderland. Now, Jan, it's been said that Sunderland came up a season too early. Is getting into Europe a season too early as well?
Well, it'd be nice to be the first time since 1973, when Sunderland won the FA Cup as a second-tier side, that they've played in Europe. So it'll be something new and something interesting. I was actually chatting to a friend of mine who's a Palace fan yesterday, and he's absolutely loving the fact that they're in Europe, and that if they go on and they're favourites to win the Conference League, if they go on and win that, then they're playing again in Europe again next season. So. Yeah, it sounds like quite an adventure. I mean, I suppose there is the risk, though, that, you know, it overstretches a club that's only just kind of made it up into the top division. We saw, was it Burnley a few years ago that qualified and then had an awful season after that? So if any of those clubs, not just Sunderland, but any of those clubs are going to qualify for Europe, they're going to have to double down on how shrewd they've been in the marketplace to bring in more players, because they're going to need a much more a much deeper squad to accommodate all those extra games.
Well, yeah, and it is a hell of a lot more games. I mean, Palace have seen that this season as well, trying to juggle Thursday night football and regular league games as well. But it looks like they are very, very close to finishing their usual 12th place anyway.
They do hug the 12th place spot, don't they?
They kind of do, don't they? So all these sides have got at least something to aim at for the rest of the season, which really does mean that you cannot take your eye off pretty much any fixture that's coming up. And the same obviously is true in the Championship, where there is still a lot to sort out. But it does feel that perhaps usually we'd be looking at saying, well, like, you know, the top half has still got playoff interest, but actually it's closed up quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, and now there's actually a 4-point gap now between Hull and Wrexham.
Yeah, I mean, and Wrexham, who were going great guns, weren't they? With all the interest that surrounds them on both sides of the Atlantic because of their documentary. They've fallen off. I think it would be a fairy tale given how it's been covered, but I think that would be too soon for them. It really would. But then I'm saying that, and look at what's happened to my own club this season. But yeah, they have fallen away, as have Borough. And I take no pleasure in saying that, Greg, because they're not a rival for Sunderland, because they're not in the northeast. But yeah, they've really dropped off, because a few weeks, it is only a few weeks ago, Coventry who have got it sewn up. But those them and Borough really looked like they were just going to run away with it, and Borough have really dropped off. Just looking at their form table, I can't see they've won in the last six. I can only see the last six fixtures, to be fair, Borough fans, if you're going to call up. They're really falling back. And the teams really in the ascendancy are Southampton and also Millwall. And of course, Ipswich. I stopped on Millwall because I'm so excited about the prospect of Millwall getting promoted.
Well, yeah, it's stalled a bit for them, really, at the moment. And it looks like Nigel Farage's Ipswich are going to take that. Look, Coventry are pretty much all as good as secured promotion.
Yeah.
But with Ipswich with two games in hand, although they've only got 2 points ahead of Millwall, they have got 2.2 games in hand, and yeah, they're in good form as well. So it's probably going to be Coventry and Ipswich. But I think it's those four, as it is now: Millwall, Middlesbrough, Southampton, and Hull. Maybe Middlesbrough are coasting in like Sunderland did last season, and it worked for them, didn't it?
I suppose. Well, it did. Yeah. I mean, they've got they're 8 points clear of Wrexham.
Yeah.
I suppose so. I think when Sunderland did that, though, it was mathematically impossible for them to get.
Yeah.
So they were just like, no one cares. Borough may be sailing close to the wind if they're going to try something similar to that, but I mean, it would take a hell of a turnaround. But they've been coasting for a long time, if that is the plan. So that's a very relaxed approach to it. I'd love to see. If it does stay as those four, it's going to be a brilliant. I mean, the playoffs are always amazing. They're always amazing.
It is. But if it finishes in that order as well, you're going to see Middlesbrough playing Southampton in the semi-finals. On current form, I can only see one winner there. I can only see one winner of the playoffs, as it is at the moment anyway.
Well, based on form, Southampton, they're ripping it up. I mean, just for anyone that doesn't follow the Championship, Southampton, they beat Wrexham. It was last Monday, 5-1 at Wrexham. Southampton are having a real great turnaround considering how badly they started under Will Still. We could see them bounce back straight away, considering you think about, Graham, the contrast to last year.
Mm.
When they were, they went down with a whimper from the Premier League. So, that would answer some critics, wouldn't it?
Certainly would. And the relegation fight is still going on there as well. There's still a few teams still involved in that down at the bottom. But Leicester lost again at the weekend, lost 1-0 to Swansea. Swansea, who really don't have anything really to play for in 14th place.
Mm.
and that was at home as well. They've got a massive game against Portsmouth this weekend. They could find themselves adrift. They're already 4 points from safety. At least if they beat Portsmouth, it will only be a point, unless, of course, Oxford win.
Yeah. This is Portsmouth who beat Borough at the weekend in the last minute. It was like 94th, 95th minute. So, you know, Portsmouth have got it in them for Leicester. Interesting one as well. And I just read this morning. I think it's been going on for a few days, so people better read than me will know this already. But West Brom are potentially in line for a points deduction because of profitability and sustainability rules, which could come into effect this season. And with them only 1 point above the relegation places, that could throw a real spanner in the works. Let's see how that works.
But that could
be really bad for them.
Yeah, because they're on a bit of a roll at the moment. I mean, they've drawn their last three, but they're not losing games at the moment, unlike they were earlier on in the season. And they had put a bit of space between themselves and the bottom three. But yeah, they drew 0-0 with Millwall, understandably, at the weekend. And they're right back in the mire. And if they do get a points deduction, that is going to change things. So obviously, Leicester have got a 6 points deduction there, and of course Sheffield Wednesday, who were relegated some time ago, are still waiting to get into positive numbers, but they've drawn their last two games, so fingers crossed four games. If they can draw all of those, then they'll be on 0 points at the end of the season.
They will. We do an entire podcast on this, so I will make it brief, but a bit of a damning indictment of the shape of football at the bottom end of the Championship there, with three clubs that have got points deductions.
Yeah.
Not great at all.
What does it say, doesn't it, really?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that West Brom situation because that really, it does seem really unfair to like spring a points deduction on at this stage of the season, though, doesn't it, really?
Imagine what that's doing to the, as you mentioned, they've turned things around a bit, but if you're a player thinking, or if you're the team thinking, we could do this, we can do a great escape, and then for some bureaucrat to go, well, I think you'll find you didn't put this in the debtors column. It's not the smell of the game, Graham, is it?
It's not really. It's not really. Well, of course, we can't big up the Championship this much without putting them in our box set this weekend. And, of course, that Portsmouth-Leicester game has to go in there on Saturday lunchtime. It's also going to be there with Ipswich Borough. And I guess this is Borough's last chance to really try to get that automatic place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't win that, then that puts Ipswich out of sight from them and probably out of sight from everyone. They'll be on 78 then, and Borough on 72. Whereas if Borough win, then they're level on points with Ipswich. So that's a real. Borough have to turn it on. They really do.
Of course, there is a certain game on at the Etihad. I think I'm getting Gary to write that game this weekend. I'll stick to something else. I'll stick to Iceland women versus England women on Saturday. that's what I'll write about this weekend.
I was going to message you and say, I mean, I'll do the Borough game because that's really interesting. But I, if it helps, Graham, if it helps, I could do the Arsenal game.
No, it's fine. Gary's already volunteered to do that one.
Is everyone reaching out to you, Graham, with warm cups of coffee? People coming around with lasagna for you? It's all right, Graham.
Hey, at least Whitelieff have made it to the playoffs, so we've got that to look forward to anyway.
They have, despite losing the last two, haven't they? Yeah. So maybe they've got a bit of the Boroughs going on there, comfortable in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, if you want to see what we think of the seven games that we think you should watch from Friday to Sunday, then get along to sofpodcast.com and click on the link for the weekend box set and subscribe to our Substack. But that is all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, and from Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football, or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now! Yeah.